Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And I have the great good fortune of interviewing two wonderful people of the stage. And we're talking about a particular show. Richard was being very weird about it as we went to, went to opening. And he was teasing us because it's a show about the Constitution, what the Constitution means to me. And what I really liked about this, and I thought, oh, I want to get these folks on the air, is they've got a special program where they're actually talking about the Constitution with various important people in the Santa Barbara community, and students get in free. It's just wonderful. And I have with us Matt Hawkins. Now, I don't know how Matt got here, but he's here in Santa Barbara, and he's a Midwesterner. And you'll know by my accent, so am I. He's a Chicago-based writer, director, actor, and fight choreographer. How cool. So my son actually, Matt, I have to say, has done some fight choreography. He was ranked number 7 in the country for saber fencing.
Oh, very nice.
And so he's done some choreography with saber fencing. Matt's works include fight choreography for Paradise Square on Broadway. He directed Little Shop of Horrors. And let's see, he's directing and producing My Heart Says Go. He's worked with the Kennedys. Listen to this. The Kennedy Center, Stratford Shakespeare Festival, Steppenwolf, The Goodman, Looking Glass, the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center, Victory Gardens. And then TV and film credits are Happily After, Chicago Fire. And he serves as the director for Chicago Public Schools' annual production at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. And that was a recipient of the National Art and Humanities Youth Program Award presented by Michelle Obama in 2014. He was named one of the top 5 most prolific artists of the decade by Time Out Chicago. I love that publication. And his production of Red Noses at Straw Dog Theater was one of the top 10 shows by Time Out Chicago. He's an associate professor at Notre Dame. He's a creative producer of the New Works Lab and director of the Theater and Musical Theater Department for the Department of Film, Television, and Theater. And Matt, how'd you get to Santa Barbara?
I don't know sometimes. I wake up every morning, yeah, not sure what time zone I'm in. When we get to it, I'll let Stacy talk about a little bit of it. But we are basically guests here of very good friends of ours who are helping produce What the Constitution Means to Me here at the Ensemble Theater Company. So they brought us out here. So we are guests for a couple of weeks rehearsing this show and doing the show. And that's how we are here. And in about a week and a half, we're going to leave and go back. And I start school and start teaching back at Notre Dame. So that's kind of how we got.
We're so pleased that you're here. And I wanted to introduce another Chicago-based actor, Stacy Stoltz. And she's the star of What the Constitution Means to Me. And she recently directed My Heart Says Go and Silent Sky at South Bend Civic Theater. She created and performed her own solo show, Walk a Mile, with Erasing the Distance. And she directed, I can't pronounce this, Fefu and Her Friends at University of Notre Dame. During the pandemic, she directed a virtual production of Fefu to raise funds for Seasons of Concerns. She's been seen on Chicago stages in Hatfield McCoy at the House Theater, Marjorie Prime at the Writers Theater, Stupid Effing Bird at Victory Gardens, and Our Town at the Hypocrites. She's worked with Route 66, Straw Dog, Michigan Shakespeare Festival, Court Theater, performed off-Broadway, nominated for Jeff Awards, and assisted living at Profiles Theater and A Streetcar Named Desire at Writers Theater. Sure, her television credits, Chicago Code, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, member of the Actors Equity and SAG-AFTRA Association. And what is your relationship to Matt, Stacey?
Matt is my husband. So we are married to each other, and we also we partner in crime in making theater. So
that
it's,
is fantastic.
Mm-hmm, it
That's
is.
Fantastic. So I have to say, Matt, so my sister before she was married was Nancy Seyfried, and she was at the Goodman. She took her acting degree at the Goodman. So our paths must have crossed at least in some virtual reality. And then I have to say that I had many years in various theaters doing set design and verisimilitude. So I worked with ACT in San Francisco and Dallas Theater Center, and I worked under some pretty famous Peter Donat and Bill Ball and a whole bunch of other famous directors over the years. And what I did was and I worked for the Geffen for a while. People would call me in and say, we need a period design that's absolutely flawless for an Ibsen play, let's say.
Sure.
And my background is in material culture, which is the, how objects embody the culture of the time. And that's my scholarly work, et cetera. So I know a lot about period. Well, I know a heck of a lot about period design. So I would, I would do, I remember Annette Bening before she became famous was in the Dollhouse. And I did the set design for that and got to know Annette. And we became friendly because we were the exact same size. And in those days, we didn't have any money. Nobody in theater did. So we were trading clothes off all the time. So, I go back in that. But then, what happened, Matt and Stacy, to me was we'd have Bill Ball would call notes and we'd be sitting there, be midnight. And he'd say, Elizabeth, I hate the set. I think it's terrible. By 7 o'clock a.m., I want a whole different set. And it's period Biedermeier. It's like, okay, how am I going to do this between midnight and 7 a.m.? But you did it.
That's exciting to hear. And side note, I got my first professional gig at Dallas Theater Center because I went to undergrad at SMU. So I know that area really, really
well. Okay, so let's see. So I was there with Doug and Sam.
I was 19, 20, didn't know anybody. I was just an actor. So I didn't have any of the relationships, but that's how I know the Dallas Theater Center area. And it's interesting you talk about the scenic stuff. What's really curious about our show that we've brought out here is it is a very, what we call minimalistic design, right? So we really, it's not about huge set changes. It's not about all the money. It's not about flashing lights. We don't have turntables. We don't have hydraulic lifts. But Stacey's, yes, I'm biased because I am her partner, but she's an incredible actress with a huge amount of range, both in comedy and drama and emotional well. So we really lean into the language of the piece. It's a 90-minute show and it's about, and Stacey can talk about it, but we really lean on the actor and there's no fancy glitz around it. And the set is really simple and it's all about the actor embodying this person. If you want to hear about like the show itself and what Stacey's like offering to the audience, if that's something interesting to talk about.
Is definitely, and is there a way that I could get Stacy maybe to do a little bit of a monologue for us?
Yeah.
Of course. That would be a great way to introduce what the play is.
Yeah. Richard, let's do this. Let's take a quick, can we do this? Take a quick break and then we get back and Stacy Schultz will do a little monologue. Yeah, let's do that. If that's okay with you, Richard, can we do that?
Okay.
And then we're celebrating this particular show. What the Constitution means to me couldn't happen at a better time, really, in the world that you're bringing us this show. I got to say, okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute with What the Constitution Means to Me with Stacy Stoltz and Matt Hawkins. Don't turn that. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart celebrating the play at the Ensemble Theater Company, What the Constitution Means to Me. And we've got the star of the show, Stacey Stokes, here, and the director. And then, did you write the show as well, Matt?
No, Stacey can talk a little. We have a really fascinating relationship with the original playwright, and Stacey can talk about it. Her name's Heidi Schreck, who actually wrote the play.
So, oh, I saw that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I promised everybody we'd do a little monologue.
Yeah.
And so, Stacey, set the scene.
Heidi Schreck is a Tony-nominated, Pulitzer-nominated playwright for this play. The play ran on Broadway to sold-out audiences. She wrote this play about her relationship to the Constitution when she was 15, but also four generations of women in her family. And so if you come to the show, please come to the show. This is what you will learn. I'm Heidi, and when I was 15, I traveled the country giving speeches about the Constitution at American Legion halls for prize money. This was a scheme invented by my mom to help me pay for college. I would travel to big cities like Denver, Fresno. I would win a whole bunch of prize money, and I would bring it back home and put it in my little safety deposit box for later. I was able to pay for my entire college education this way. A few years ago, I was thinking about the Constitution, and I started to wonder what it was exactly my 15-year-old self loved so much about this document, because I did. I loved it. I was a zealot. So I called my mom, and I asked her to send me the speech, and she had thrown it away. So I decided I would resurrect the speech and the contest. Based on what I remember about myself at 15, here are a few things I remember. In addition to being terrifyingly turned on all the time, I was also obsessed with witches and the Salem Witch Trials, theater, here I am, but most importantly, Patrick Swayze.
So everyone, that's the opening monologue to Heidi Schreck's What's the Constitution Means to Me. So if you come to Ensemble Theater Company this weekend, that's the first thing you're going to hear and see. And then, Elizabeth, you got time. We got 30 more seconds to hear another section if you want to hear it. It's really fun.
Definitely. Yeah.
So this next part is Stacey, who was playing Heidi in the role, she pretends, she transports back to her 15-year-old self. And so she's in an American Legion hall. She's 15 years old, and she's given a speech about the Constitution, and she is full of energy and zeal. So this is 15-year-old Heidi giving a speech at the American Legion hall for money.
The Constitution is a living document. That is what is so beautiful about it. It is a living, warm-blooded, steamy document. It is not a patchwork quilt. It is hot and sweaty. It is a crucible. Do you know what a crucible is? It is a pot in which you put many different ingredients and you boil them together until they transform into something else, something that is sometimes magic. So, you see, our Constitution is like a witch's cauldron.
And it is a witch. Yeah, thanks for that.
You know, Matt, you live with this beautiful actress, but I have to say, their voice and her face and everything changed between the presentation. Yes, and Richard's noticed the same thing. Our producer noticed the same thing. So when she was her adult Heidi, she was a whole different package. She's the young Heidi. She's a different package altogether. Mm-hmm. The look of her eyes changed, too, by the way. It was very interesting to see that. I wish everybody could see it on the video. But you can hear it in her voice, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why I think she's a phenomenal actor for sure, which is also why the piece is really, really fun. And there's a lot of energy and a lot of joy because you get to see a 15-year-old on through a grown woman's experience. And then just to give props to Richard, on the break, we were talking about this document being a living document. And Stacey turned to me and said, oh, we should also do the section about the living document. And I said,
all right.
That was a little impromptu. So Richard, off air there, that was for you. So thanks for that.
I'd like to ask her about her being a part of this and delivering these lines and so forth. Yes, I know that when you're on stage, you're acting and it's, you know, and it's a lot of fun and those kinds of things. But how does this affect you, the person, when you are sharing this? I mean, we're all Americans here, and we all understand, at least to some degree, what the Constitution's all about. But when you deliver these lines, I'm not just hearing from the 15-year-old or however old the person is you're portraying, but I'm also hearing from you. How does this impact you as a person?
Yeah, I think, right, politics, the atmosphere in the world, there's a lot going on. It's hard to feel hopeful. And I think it's also challenging to activate your curiosity about things when it feels like there's no change, when it feels like there's so much bad othering of each other. It's hard for us to be with each other. And I think I just feel really empowered by this piece. It feels really, I feel like it's a privilege to be able to stir up some hope and some excitement about this document that you had mentioned on the break. Mm-hmm. That was created to change. It was created, the framers were speaking for the ages, how societies change, and it was supposed to fit people over time. And the question is, a 15-year-old looking at it and seeing that it's, I don't know, maybe looking at it through idealistic 15-year-old eyes, but then seeing how it is or is not protecting people.
Well, I think that those who, and I know they're out there listening, there are those who say, no, it's sacrosanct. It needs to be kept as is. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Even the founding fathers, not only did they set up provisions for amending the term, the Constitution, they amended it 10 times before it was signed. And then we have amended it 17 more times. So as your speech says, it is a living, breathing, hot-blooded, if you will, document that deserves to evolve. And I think that maybe that's where a lot of us have missed it, that there is, although I did hear from one gentleman who was a studier of the Founding Fathers as well as the Constitution, he said, the Founding Fathers didn't even think it was going to last 15 years, let alone 200 and however many years we are now. And I'm thinking, really? Yeah, they went to all that trouble, went to war, and they only thought it was going to last about 15 years? I don't know. Maybe there were a few who were pessimistic, but man, it's alive. It is alive.
And Richard, I will mention, like, our really supportive producers. I want to give a shout out to Susan Lichtenstein and John Rokaz. They are Santa Barbara community members here, and they are the reasons we are out here. They have funded this, supported this, and helped us do a co-production with ETC. Mm. So we value them. And I will quote Richard, your question of, like, what is that like for Stacy to inhabit this?
Yes.
And I think our producer last night had a very clear descriptor of it when she said, Stacy, this is a tour de force watching you. And it is true. So if you don't think that acting is athletic and if you don't think you need conditioning, come see this, because Stacy is what I would say doing the entire emotional scale that you can think of, from your extreme joy to extreme vulnerability, and she's embodying all of it. And to watch that happen, so even if you're just a theater lover and the Constitution doesn't get you jazzed, just come to see this. Like, it is, when I was at school at Notre Dame, when we were there, like, students had to come see this because this was a master acting class watching Stacy on stage.
And one of the things we had to do in school, we had to memorize the preamble, We the People. It was, and to me, it's like, and I recite it somewhat regularly, even on my program, when talking mm-hmm. about individual rights versus community rights. And that goes to create a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and who? Our posterities. Who's our posterity? You keep saying our children are our future. Why aren't you doing something to preserve our posterity?
Well, it's interesting you say that, right? So you will hear, we'll talk about the Ninth Amendment in the show. We'll talk about the 14th Amendment. It'll be talked about.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what are we doing. And the last 20 minutes of the show, there's a live debate between Stacy and a local student here in Santa Barbara. And they have a debate and it's really fun and playful. And then they basically are asking whether or not we should keep or abolish the US Constitution. And it's a really fun, vibrant, and the audience gets to vote. And at the end of the day, end of the night, you get to see what, and it's a thought exercise for sure, but all the points they bring up are really, really exciting. And it's a really fun a thought experiment.
Is that debate scripted or is that off the cuff?
It's a little bit of both. It's like loosely, but every night you don't know what's going to happen. We flip a coin to see which side people take. So we kind of know the ideas, and the audience is different every night. It gets a little wild.
That's
for sure.
Cool. That is very cool. Yeah.
Now, was that something that Heidi put in the script, or that's part of part and parcel? Now, I have to just ask two personal questions, if you don't mind, because Richard's kind of led us down this path. So he asked about how Stacy. Well, you did.
I know.
He asked about how Stacy actually feels in regards to the character she plays, and Matt was implying that it's one of those tour de force performances where she's embodying the philosophy, the body, the attitude, and everything about the character. And I'm going to ask you this, and Matt gave it away, I think. He said, when we were at Notre Dame, did you meet there?
No. We've been together for 20 years, and we actually, we met in Chicago at a theater party, right? And so we've been there, and I've only been on faculty there for about 6-7 years. So we moved out there together, but no, that's not where we met.
But the origin of us doing this play, when we moved to South Bend, Indiana, I'm still working in Chicago, but we moved there, and you know, the community is different, the politics are different, and it became really, I was looking for my voice in a new community, and I really wanted to share this play at this time, which, as you said, Elizabeth, at the beginning, it is the perfect time to share this play that's talking about women and how we feel about the world that we're walking through. And I guess I just also wanted to say, it's incredible to share this beautiful piece of literature that Heidi wrote. It's also really exciting to revisit your younger self. And really, I try to conjure who I was then. I try to personalize Heidi's stories, but I also bring a lot of my own experiences growing up. My own experiences with my family and the generations of women in my family. And it's challenging sometimes. It feels really personal. So doing the play for me, as I imagine it was deeply personal for Heidi, it's personal for me too. Mm-hmm. I want people to feel like it stirs up their own stories about their own experiences. And I hope that it ignites in young people and all people an interest in engaging in some way.
And what's really interesting is, like Stacy talked about, there are some challenging topics. Yes, it is fun, but there are some things that we are struggling with as a whole, as a country, trying to figure out how to have conversations about. The nice thing about being at Notre Dame, and I really need to give them a shout out as well, they're all about cultivating space for creative tension. And what that means is we want debate, we want civil discourse. And so, and being on an academic campus, because, you know, being a progressive university, but also being a Catholic research institution, it's a really interesting combination of philosophy and theology standing next to each other. And so it's really exciting to be part of that community. So while we were there, we did something, and we have brought this model to Santa Barbara, is after every single show, like what Stacy's talking about, we make space for those challenging conversations. So we can talk, but also so we can listen. So when we were at Notre Dame, we would have law professors come in, constitutional scholars come in, we would have law students at Notre Dame who were there to come over and speak. And then here in Santa Barbara, we're doing the same thing. So the show runs 90 minutes, then we take a quick little break, and then if you want to, which I encourage you to, you stay afterwards as an audience, and you tell us what you think about the play. And at the same time, we have panelists every night that also talk about who they're going to be in the play. Last night, we had a really exciting, engaging conversation. We had John Cybernock, the Santa Barbara District Attorney, was there, retired District Attorney, right? Joyce Dudley was there. We had Gwen Lurie, the CEO and founder of the Montecito Journal, was there. And like tonight, we've got Senator Monique Lamone is going to be there talking. And then we've got a county assemblyman this weekend. There's a Superior Court judge. So we've got a really awesome panel. So every night, so come hang out, see the show, laugh. You might have some feelings. And then afterwards, we talk about it as a community and then as a group. And that's part of, as Stacey is saying, that's part of the challenge. So that's what we really love about this piece is people say, is it political or is it not? You're going to hear this all the time. And I guess you can say, are there things that have been politicized in our community and our society in the show? Sure. Is that the intention of the piece? I'm gonna say no. It's about a woman's human story to generations of her family and how they have literally been affected by this document. And that's her story. And then you can construe whatever you want from those conversations.
So Richard, I just have to say the one of the reasons, I mean, I had other folks lined up for today, but when this came through and I read about this performance, what struck me, Richard, was, you know, you and I will recognize the names that are invited every night to participate. There's usually a group of four or five folks that are invited to sit and participate. And Matt is absolutely right. I mean, there's the former district attorney, the Superior Court judge, I mean, and some of the great academics from our institutions, some of the congresspeople, the senators, they're all lined up. So the various performances have the different voices from the community. And when Richard, and if Richard and I were to look at that list, we would be struck by how diverse those voices are. And in a period where I think Stacey's just hit the nail on the head when she said the otherness, when we are so pointing fingers at the other, you've got people on this invited list after the show that think divergent thoughts. And yet they are all invited and they come. Well, and so, you know, we're all like, oh, no, we don't want to see the other person's viewpoint. But in this case, they've managed to pull some magic together and have people coming from the other side of the aisle and attending the show and then staying to speak afterwards. And I think that's a remarkable thing. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, Rich, we have to go to a quick break, but people think about Santa Barbara when you just come and visit us, for example, you don't live here, and it's sort of a very liberal community, et cetera. But it's about equally divided, conservative to liberal. It's pretty much 50-50 in this town. And people don't realize that. They just think, well, this is, you know, liberal community. But it's pretty equally divided. And the voices that are represented on the panel that you pull together, or maybe your producers helped, but some genius did it, because there's a number of people that you would not think would be bedfellows that have been invited. So I just want to comment on that, and just kudos to the people that invented this idea. The community forum, after all, we go back to Dionysus, don't we, where the community is so active in feeling the performance that it becomes a ritual. So anyway, Richard, let's go to quick break. And just reintroducing what the Constitution means to me at the new Vic. And it is going to be, well, it's starting off to be pretty interesting indeed. We talked about last night. Okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
We believe in liberty, democracy, the will of the majority. Congress makes the laws, our courts interpret laws. The executive branch leads and enforces the laws. The creation of the nation, when states cooperation needs our participation, so that we the people keep the land we love, because we the people are America.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
going back, it's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking about the show at the New Vic and what the Constitution means to me. You know, I said I had a two personal questions. One was how the couple that sits before us, how they met 20 years ago at a theater party in Chicago. What theater? Do you remember?
I do. Stacy was part of a theater company called The Hypocrites. I was part of a theater company called The House Theater, and we were at a storefront warehouse party thrown by a theater called Collaboration.
Very cool.
We're all performing little plays for each other, basically. And I saw Matt across the room, and I just marched up to him and introduced myself and asked him out. And that's how that happened.
I like his hair.
From across a crowded room, Richard, and somehow Richard, you know.
Richard, this is a choice. This is a choice, just so you know.
That's what's right. Same here.
And then, Elizabeth, I don't know if you had another personal question, but I was going to hark back to before our break, talking about the community conversations and the post-show talkbacks. We do want to thank Amber Caldwell, who's the communications director for the Democratic Women of Santa Barbara County. She is the one that relentlessly and persistently spearheaded the communications to reach out all across the community and the district and this part of the state. So we really... And she did a lot of that legwork, and that she would never ask for any sort of spotlight, but she's one of those individuals that is behind the scenes, really help with those communications. So we need to thank her for.
We need more people like that. You know, it's that actually brings something like this to the forefront. So this first personal question was how you met and where and when, and then the second personal question, I think I told you that my sister is at Actors Equity and SAG-AFTRA. Actor as well, retired now, but with my sister, she married her agent, and they're still together, believe it or not. I mean, I find that hard to believe, but they're still together. She married her agent. She was at the Goodman Chicago Shakespeare Festival Theater, I think, number of other playhouses in Chicago. But growing up with her, I never knew what I'd get when she walked into a room. I never knew if I'd get her, or if I'd get her what she was studying to be or had performing to be. And I never quite knew what I was going to get if she had a situation that she played before emotionally, if I would get that performance redone, or if I would get her true emotions for herself. And then we just kind of all four of us siblings kind of all just gave up and just took it as we found it, that was part and parcel of her personality. Now you're directing your wife.
Yes.
Now, do you know what you're getting?
Oh, at this point, 1,000%. I know exactly. Yes. And there are some couples which we understand that have a very clear boundary between their work life and their home life. But it is so intrinsic to who we are as individuals that is one of our strong bonds as a married couple. And we've been, and this isn't the first time that we've worked together on projects, and we've worked in different capacities. And so we know each other, and that's part of the strength. So we actually don't shy away from it. We go the opposite, which I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, because we're in the theater, we are dramatic, and we think our because we're passionate about ideas, passion meeting passion can obviously turn in, you know, to very fruitful and energetic and dynamic conversations, to say the least. But I think really what happens is you I think, and Stacy can disagree with me when I'm done, I think it actually creates more empathy for your partner and your marriage, because that idea of like never knowing what you get, I think that's part of the joy and the beauty of it, because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, because we're gonna love each other at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. And we can be as ugly about ourselves or to each other, or as joyful and as loving. So it's actually permission to truly be your core self no matter what. And when you're doing this kind of work, yes, it's about the work. So you really wanna check your ego, but it is personal, right? You are up there using your body, your voice. So it's a personal thing, but at the same time, it's not about you. The work transcends you. So that's where we keep each other in check. We're like, hey, we know you're having these feelings and the feelings are awesome. We would acknowledge it. Let's also just remember what our intention is as we're doing that. So our marriage and work life, they are so intertwined, and we think that's a strength of ours.
You know, I have to say, I got to say, it sounds so perfect what you said. In practice, it's difficult because, for example, I live with a professional photographer, my partner, and my training is in visual composition. So a lot of times I'm like, you know, okay, I'm an appraiser with 30 years experience looking at pictures. So sometimes I'm not saying much and sometimes I am, depending, you know, and sometimes I'm stepping on feet. And so, you know, sometimes you're giving notes and sometimes, you know, you're not giving notes, right? So, mm-hmm. Oh, Richard, are you saying we have to go to quick break?
Yes, hey, that's Richard. Correct. Yes, absolutely. Let's okay. take a quick
we'll
break. We'll
quick
come
break.
Back.
And then maybe Matt, you can tell us what you think of Santa Barbara, both of you, when we get back from the break, and how people can come and see you. Okay. Both things. Yeah, we get back. Okay, don't turn that down. We're talking with the star of what the Constitution means to me at the New Vic, and the director, Matt Hawkins, and Stacey Soult. Both are with us today talking about the play, What the Constitution Means to Me. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec.
In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers all sat down and wrote a list of principles that's known the world around. The USA was just starting out, a whole brand new country, and so our people spelled it out. They wanted a land of liberty, and the preamble goes like this. About the USA, do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? Hey, learn about the USA. In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers did agree to write a list of principles for keeping people free. Starting out a whole brand new country, and so our people spelled it out, the things that we should be, and they put those principles down on paper and called it the Constitution, and it's been helping us run our country ever since then. The first part of the Constitution is called the preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking with the star and the director of What the Constitution Means to Me at the New Vic. And it's just here for a short time. And Matt, tell me a little bit about what the run is and how folks can get in touch with you and see you guys.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you. And thanks again for having us on. Yeah, so the Ensemble Theater Company, right, that downtown, that's where we are performing. If you want to get tickets, right, you can go to etcsb.org and get tickets. And here's a big thing. We haven't said this, Elizabeth. If you are a student, you see this show for free.
Free.
If you are a student, you get to see this show for free. So please come see that. We run just this weekend, and then we leave and go back to the Midwest. And we have a show Friday night at 7:30. Saturday, two shows, one at in the afternoon and also at 7:30. And then another show Sunday afternoon. So we got just a few more shows left. ETCSB.org. And again, if you are a student of any kind, if you're in elementary, high school, college, if you're a grad student, you get to see the show for free.
But you do have to call and reserve your seats, regardless.
I'm guessing the School of Hard Knocks doesn't qualify.
You could try it.
Give it a shot.
See if they honor it. And then those afternoon shows on Saturday and Sunday are at 2 p.m.
Very
and again,
cool.
Show runs 90 minutes, super fun, thought-provoking. And if you want, hang out for like a 20-30 minute talk back to talk about your feelings, your questions about our about the show, about the play. You can meet the cast and meet our panelists, and it's a really great time. And we're really thankful again, the Ensemble Theater Company downtown. So go up, check out their website and get tickets and come see this thing. And I wanna, I don't think I mentioned this before, this play is the most produced play in our country right now.
Wow.
Yeah, hey. So this is a huge moment for this play, for this conversation. So for those of you who are listening, if you don't want to miss out, don't go to your dinner parties and not know what's been going on, yeah. What's been cool. But if you want your finger on the pulse, come see this thing. And even and if you love it, man, tell your friends. And if you hate it, tell your enemies.
Question, I wonder if this, well, has this question come up to the audience maybe in some fashion, maybe from one of the other audience members? How many of you have actually read the Constitution?
That's not a great question.
Understood it. I'm not saying you understand it and you go there, but how many of you have actually read it?
Well, and if you come to the show, everyone in the audience will receive a pocket constitution.
Ooh.
And you can follow along and check our work and see what's going on and learn a little bit.
Little fact checking is what you're saying.
And it's interesting you say that, Richard. Like, you know, I think a lot of us, myself, ourselves included, we walk around thinking we really understand politics. We understand what our points of view are. But after working on this play, it was this beautiful gift that Heidi Schreck has given to us. It's a great civics course. It's a civics lesson to go through. And you go, wait, that Supreme Court case in that year decided this based on this. Is that true? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
So what we get a lot from our audience is just, and this is our hope at the end of the day, is that they are curious to engage right in the civics conversation. And they're curious to learn more about the Constitution or about our document, because I think we run around spouting off a lot of, all of us do, and for those of you who watch a lot of the news channels, we spout off a lot of comments, and I don't know that they're really rooted in anything that is factual. So that's what this show's done for us, is ignited our curiosity.
And
so I have to just,
go ahead.
Richard, yeah. Has anybody been mad at the end of the show?
I wouldn't say mad. I think there's been some feelings. So there's been some passionate questions about why maybe something was written or what was the intention of something.
But nobody's upset with it. No, people are civil and they're speaking. Yeah,
people are ignited by the ideas in the play, and they're. If they're angry or upset, it's because they want to do something to make our country better.
Yeah.
I think it leaves people, as it's left me as a performer and sharing this story. I am so passionate about this play. I am as obsessed with this play as Heidi was with the Constitution at 15.
Wow.
And so excited to share it with people, and it is a civics lesson, but it's also really, really funny.
You know, what's real interesting I find is when I was a kid growing up, I would watch, and it was on the network ABC, all these little vignettes like I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill, and of course the Constitution and some of these other things that helped to, I don't know, put in my mind through, of course, the songs, they were fairly memorable. These concepts, they were not political in nature. They were, as you've used the word, civic or civics, I guess you would say. I mean, I still remember in high school, my civics teacher, Mrs. Schneider, and we would go through a lot of this stuff in terms of what was written, not necessarily the interpretations. That was not what was important. It was what was written. What were the words that were used? And I think that's, to me, real important that, you know, each one of us. And I think that's great. You're giving out pocket versions of the Constitution.
I didn't get a chance to ask very quickly, just in, Rich, we just got 1 minute, I think. What do you think of Santa Barbara, you two?
I've never been here. I love it, and we're reconsidering. Maybe I should be looking for jobs out here. If there's any university out here, I'm like, I wonder if we should look and consider this. This is a pretty wild place, I hear.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And being from the Midwest, you know, having the ocean and the mountains, I love it.
Well, thank you guys for being with us, and shout out the What the Constitution Means to Me at the New Vic Ensemble Theater Company has put this together. And I got to say, they're a bold company. They're doing a show about justice, females in the Supreme Court later on in the season. They're really doing some great work over there. And thank you both for being with us. I appreciate it very much.